On Saturday, September 8th, climate activists across the planet rallied to demand quick action on climate change. WOOC correspondent Mark Dunley reported on the Albany activists who gathered outside the governor's mansion.
On Saturday, September 8th, climate activists across the world rose up for the climate in conjunction with convening of world leaders to discuss climate agenda that Jerry Brown is pulling together in California. Here in Albany, there was a rally at the governor's mansion with about 150 or so people. That was one of 850 events that took place in 95 countries. The main demands of the rallies across the planet were a just transition to 100% clean energy, renewable energy, as quickly as possible, state, federal carbon tax to make corporate polluters pay, and to immediately halt all use of particularly new fossil fuel infrastructure. Here in the Capital District, they also added on the call for the state to divest its pension funds from fossil fuels as soon as possible. WOOC interviews two of the speakers. Mert Simpson will speak first from Cher in Albany County Legislature, and then Judith Eng, the moderator of the event, will introduce the overall rally. We're talking with Mert Simpson, who is the Albany County Legislature and also one of the co-chairs of the Sheridan Hollow Alliance Renewable Energy. Why are so many people gathered here today in front of the governor's mansion calling for Rise for Climate? And we're talking with Mert Simpson.
Well, we want the governor to live up to his stated goals of, 100% renewable energy. And what we've observed by, we've advocated over a dozen times based on different organizations for moving forward with, real full-pledged commitment to energy renewal. And the governor talks a good game, but it's like one step forward and three steps back. At the same time that we have examples of really progressive, state-of-the-art facilities like the Bloomberg Center in New York or Cornell Ithaca, the governor has bi-monthly meetings on how to finance frack fossil fuel microgrids. And so there's no such thing as, a balance. You have to go completely in the right direction, and we have to double it up because Mother Nature can't be fooled.
Now, obviously, one of the things that you've been working on has been the governor's proposal to have two new frack gas turbines in Sheridan Hollow to power the state capitol and the Empire State Plaza. How is that issue progressing?
Well, I believe the governor is really trying to stall. We met with the governor's people, with some of the state-of-the-art experts in terms of renewable energy, including geothermal. And so if they didn't know what was possible before, they know now. Now, when we first started SHARE in August of last year, the NYPA had a set of frequently asked questions that said they had explored alternatives of wind, solar, geothermal, and found them not to be feasible. We did a formal request, and we asked about what kind of data they had to support their conclusion, and their response was that they have no information responsive to this request, meaning they didn't consider it, they didn't work on it, but they lied and said that they did. So when you have this kind of obfuscation and this kind of stalling, my fear right now is based on what we've been able to do alone in terms of educating and conscientizing the governor's staff and the governor, is that they want to probably, my worst case scenario is that he thinks he might wait till 2020 and say, we consider the alternatives, but we want to go with the poison fossil fuel. What I believe is that we're going to be strong enough to stop that. But the bigger goal is to use the $88 million in change that was dedicated for the Sheridan Hollow microgrid to use for sustainable energy, particularly geothermal, for the 98-acre Empire State Plaza, in that the capital of New York State can set a model for the rest of the state, which will set a model for the country and hopefully for the world. But the converse is true. If we do the wrong thing, then it'll take us in the wrong trajectory, and we're dangerously close to the tipping point if we're not past it, and we have a responsibility to bequeath our children a world at least as good as the one we have, but we're perilously close to being close to oblivion.
Thank you, Mert Simpson.
Thank you.
So my name is Judith Eng. I'm a local environmental leader. I used to work at the EPA during the administration of Barack Obama. Remember him? And when I worked at the EPA, President Obama had the United States join the Paris Climate Accord to cut greenhouse gases, and President Trump unfortunately pulled us out of that agreement. When I worked at the EPA, we adopted rules to make cars and trucks more fuel efficient, saving you money at the pump. But unfortunately, those rules have been canceled by the Trump administration. And who remembers Scott Pruitt? Scott Pruitt was so bad that Donald Trump actually fired him. However, he's been replaced by a guy who was, until recently, a lobbyist for the coal industry. So that's why we gather here today. Real enduring leadership on climate change issues will not come from Washington. And not nearly enough is being done by Governor Cuomo and our state lawmakers here in Albany, and that's why we gather at the governor's mansion. Real climate leadership comes from the people. It comes from the grassroots up. Real climate leaders work for 100% renewable energy. Real climate leaders provide economic opportunities for workers, ensuring a just transition away from fossil fuels. And real climate leaders divest public pension dollars from all fossil fuels. And finally, real climate leaders stand with our sisters and brothers in Arbor Hill and the south end of Albany, whose residents are really on the front lines dealing with climate change. They're dealing with gas burning on Sheridan Avenue and the thousands of crude oil trains that dangerously move in and out of neighborhoods in the south end, just yards away from public housing and literally just feet away from playgrounds where children play. Now, all of this is happening just a stone's throw away from the governor's mansion, where unfortunately Governor Cuomo continues to support the building of new fossil fuel power plants, new pipelines, new gas compressor stations. I do want to say thank you to Governor Cuomo for banning fracking in our state. But, there's a but, it's not good enough. If it's not good enough for New York, how can he sanction importing fracked gas from our neighbors in Pennsylvania and other states? Instead of importing fracked gas, we need the governor to do so much better on investments in solar and wind. So let's take a moment here. I want to ask you a question. How much electricity do you think New York State currently gets from solar and wind? Take a guess. You guys are so optimistic. Only 4%. New York State is behind Texas and Iowa and California, and that's why we're here today. Today is a global day of action. I want to let you know that there are 850 climate events in 95 different countries. So you are part of this international movement, and we're all gathering because we know we are running out of time. According to that radical fringe organization, NOAA, I love NOAA, 2018 is on track to be the fourth hottest year on record. Only three other years have been hotter, 2015, 2016, and 2017. So climate change is not a distant threat, it's happening now. When I served at the EPA, my region included New York, New Jersey, eight Indian nations in New York, Puerto Rico, and the US Virgin Islands. And I want to remind everyone that we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of Hurricane Maria, which decimated Puerto Rico and the US Virgin Islands. We know that climate change doesn't cause hurricanes, but it makes the surface water temperature warmer and makes hurricanes stronger. The warmer water is like rocket fuel for hurricanes. And after Maria hit, there was such devastation. I worried so much about my friends and my former EPA colleagues. I just never imagined Puerto Rico being in the state it was in. People were without electricity, without clean water, without medical care. The Trump administration really failed the the people of Puerto Rico. 4,000 people died, not 65 people, and the suffering continues to this day. Hurricane Maria is Donald Trump's Katrina. And sadly, there will be more Hurricane Marias, more Superstorm Sandys, more Irenes, all because the state and federal government will not stand up to the political influence of the fossil fuel industry. It is that simple, it is that sad. And it'll change because of you. How many of you know Bill McKibben? Do you know that name? I thought so. If you don't know him, especially students, go home today and read everything Bill McKibben has wrote about climate change. He's the co-founder of 350.org. And Bill McKibben wisely said, when it comes to fighting climate change, winning slowly is just another way of losing.
That was WOOC correspondent Mark Dunley interviewing his wife, Judith Inkth, who was the former original EPA, as well as Albany County legislator Mart Simpson.